All things are possible, only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious and loving Father, we humbly and reverently approach thy throne of mercy tonight, knowing that your word is your throne. And so, Father, we come before your throne of mercy, asking you, Father, to help us to come to that place where the preeminence of your name, of your life, of your word will be the utmost place in our hearts. And help us, as the scripture says, that your prophet came in this hour. The spirit of Elijah is to return the hearts of your children to the hearts of the fathers. So, Father, we pray that you'd work on our hearts until they are just pure, 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 just one with thee. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening we're going to continue in Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, number 147, number 27 in our mini-series called Christian Life. And we're going to entitle this, The Word Only Has Life, because we find in paragraph 238, Brother Brown says, now notice now, he is the head of the body that's born from sin, that's born from the sin of unbelief in God's word, that excuses every denomination, every creed. See, unbelief in the word, which is himself. The word of life, see, the word only has life. Any other word is a hybrid. No matter how much it looks like it isn't the word. The word produces its own life that he swapped for personal knowledge. See how the church has today, through some man's understanding. Moses had a great understanding of God till he met the Moses had a great understanding of God till he met the burning bush. Then he saw his failure. The burning bush had what Moses lacked. The words got what the denominations lack. So let's bow our heads again. Father, we just thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, to be with us. Help us, Lord, to understand these words which Brother Branham is speaking. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so what we're looking at in this point, Brother Branham says, the word only has life. And that is what Jesus said in John 6:63, my words are spirit and their life. In John 6:24, in order to pick up the scene before we get to there, in 6:24, Jesus says, the scripture says, when the people therefore saw Jesus, that he was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answering them said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? And Jesus answering said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Notice how they keep going for the bread, going for the bread, going for the bread. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye have also seen me, and you believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will. Let me just put this on for you, so you can follow with me. All that the Father gave me shall come to me, And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given unto me, I should lose nothing, but should raise him up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and will raise him up at the last days. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answering and said unto them, Murmur not amongst yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath or echoes everlasting life. I am that bread of life, and your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven, and if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forevermore. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? How many times we heard Brother Branham say, he quote this, he say, you know, they thought, man, the guy's become a cannibal. He's lost his mind. He's off his rocker. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself, see, that's a discernment, that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go? Notice Jesus had 70 disciples that were following him, and because of the things that he said, all of a sudden it was just too hard, and they left. And that's exactly what Peter said to Jesus when Jesus asked the 12 if they were going to do what the 70 did and leave also. And notice what Peter says in verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou alone hast the words of eternal life. And that's also what John says in 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. We also see Paul teaching the same thing in Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. He says, Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may have not run in vain, neither have labored in vain. Therefore, we can see that this doctrine, what Paul is speaking about, the life is the word, or the word is the life. It was taught by Jesus, it was taught by Paul, it was taught by John, it was taught by Peter. Basically, it was the apostolic doctrine. Now let's look at this word of life, because we know that John 1:1 tells us that the word was with God and the word was God. Therefore, if God is the word and the word is life, then the great fountain of life that comes forth from the presence of God is what contains the very life of God. That's why you should be in your Bibles every day. That's God's life. I'd like to read three scriptures concerning this fountain of life. I would like for you to look at the progression of them. First, we read Psalm 36 and verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Now notice it says, with thee is the fountain of life. But then, in order to receive the life from this fountain, we need to have the right attitude toward it. Because the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. So in Proverbs 14 and 27 we read, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. And we know a snare is a trap. It's something that can catch you if you're not aware of it. But notice then he says, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. Before that he said, for with thee is the fountain of life. And now he's saying the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see? And then Revelation 21 and 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And so what is this fountain of water of life? We know it's the Word. For we are washed with the washing of water by the Word. But what we need to know, if we are to receive this fountain, is by what means does it come forth? When we think of a fountain, we think in terms of water perpetually coming forth with no ending. Now, the water coming forth itself is not the source, but it is coming from the source. And the fountain itself is not the source, but is the means by which it may obtain the life that comes from the source. So you have a source, then you have a means to get that source to you, or the life that's in that source. And that's the fountain. Revelation 22 and 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So notice the water of life proceeds from the throne of God. So we see the source of life is God himself. And yet we see that there is a fountain that will bring forth from him the very thing that we desire, and that's eternal life. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 20 we read, but that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. Notice in the scripture we see that God is our very life, and yet it is his voice that we must heed to in order to obtain the life of him. It boggles my mind how people can say that they love God, but they deny his voice. They say, well, I'm really looking for the Lord, but then they turn down his voice. When the voice is the very thing, he says, that thou mayest cleave to him. You can't cleave to him outside of obeying his voice. That's what he says in that scripture. So now we're thinking of this God life in terms of a fountain and rivers of water. Because the analogy or type that God uses is that of something that is ever moving and ever flowing forth from its source. So then there must be a source and a vehicle to move the life from the source to where it goes to be received. We find in Genesis 2 and 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and notice, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, in this verse, we see God bringing forth his own life and placing it in a man through his breath. Yet, in this illustration, we actually picture God having made or molded or a form, and then literally came down to the earth and placing his mouth upon the mouth of Adam, and he breathed into Adam his own life. But did it really go that way? From the book of Job, we read, 33 and 4, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of Almighty God hath given me life. So we notice here that Job has the same testimony that Adam has. And actually, every true son of God has the same testimony. That God breathed into us the breath of lives. So what is this life? What is this breath of God anyway? We find in 1 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God breathed. So God breathes into you his word. And Jesus said, my words are spirit and my words are life. So when God breathes into you his word, he's breathing into you his Holy Spirit. The same way he did with Adam, the same way he did with Job, he does for us. All scripture is God breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness or rightwiseness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we see that the breath of God is his own word coming forth. Now, isn't it strange that in John 1 and 1 we see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if the Word is God, doesn't the Bible say that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he? So the Word is what you are, and that's who God is. And so we see in John 1 and 4 that in him, who's him? Well, it says in the beginning was the Word, right? So in the Word was life, and the life was the light of men. So then if the life is in the Word, then we see that we must receive what is in the Word in order to receive the life that is in him. And we're told in 1 Peter 1 and 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So there's your life in the word that Brother Branham was speaking about in this verse that we read tonight. And notice it's also identified as a seed that is sown by the sower in Mark 4 and 14. The seed that the sower went forth sowing is the word of God. And again in the book of Acts 11 and 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Notice, how do they receive repentance unto life? By the things that they heard. And again, from Acts chapter 13, verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now notice that if the word of God is life, or a carrier of God life, and is represented as a seed because the word seed means a carrier of life, then it will take a change of our own thinking in order to receive God's thinking, which is what a word is, because the word is a thought expressed. And so then if we are not able to change our thinking, then what chance have we got of receiving God life? So right before we hear what Paul says in Acts 13:48, we hear what caused him to say it in Acts 13:46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing that you have put it off from yourselves and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And then he says, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life, they believed. Amen. John 3:36, we read, but he that believeth on the Son echoes everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God shall abide upon him. In 1 John 5 and verse 20, we read, and we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, he's not saying the Son is the true God. He's saying this one that is true, he says, and we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding, and that we may know him that is true. Jeremiah 1 and 10 says there's only one true living God. So then what are the attributes of eternal life? We're told by Jesus himself in John 17 and 3, this is the life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Notice the only true God. So eternal life does not come by your keeping of the law. It comes by the word of life taken over your heart and the Spirit of God living your life for you. In Galatians 3:21, we read, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But it's not. In other words, we're not looking at a written word. We're not looking at a dead word. We're looking at a word that contains life. You know, if you want to plant a seed, you have to put it in the ground. And that seed, you know, you can't keep digging it up because that seed has got to rot. And that word has got to come in and it's got to be opened up inside to release the very life that was in the seed back into you. In Galatians 2 and 19 we read, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm living, yet not I, but Christ is living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Therefore, in almost closing, Romans 8 and 1, we read, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after self, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of unbelief and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through self, God sending his own Son in the likeness of your sinful self, and for unbelief, condemned unbelief in self, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after self, but after the Spirit. For they that are tuned in to self do mind the things of self. But they that are tuned in to the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, which is self-centered, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the mind that is self-centered, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are into self cannot please God. But you are not into self, but in tune with the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ abiding in him, he is none of his. And if the Spirit of Christ is in you, yourself, that is your body. Your body is dead because of unbelief, but your spirit is quickened to life because of right wiseness. But if the Spirit of him, God's Spirit, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to self to live after self. For if you live after self, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, that is yourself, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit, God's Spirit, itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What's the whole thing about? Brother Branham, we began by talking about, he said, the Word is the only life. Only in the Word comes forth life. We can listen to music, it's not going to produce life. We can talk in fellowship, it's not going to produce life. There's only one thing, and that's the Word. And faith cometh by hearing. That's why I think it's so important in this hour for us to be listening on a daily basis to God's voice. Because one of these days, the voice is going to call. And if you're not listening, and I'm not saying you're going to get off the tape, but if you're not listening, if you're not in tune with the voice of God, when the voice of the resurrection calls forth, you're not going to hear it. You're not going to hear it. We are in the process now of just training our minds so that our body can follow. That is why in 1 John 5 and 12, he that hath, or he that echoes the Son, echoes life. And he that echoes not the Son echoes not life. These things have I written unto you that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. In closing, Revelation 2 and 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. In John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me echoes everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And we find out that this is the hour that we are to come to the place where we are to manifest openly this eternal life, as we see in Colossians 3 and 4, where it says, when Christ, who is our life, when he shall appear, when he shall phaneroo, then shall you also phaneroo with him in glory. Now the word appear is from the Greek word phanero, which means to manifest in one's true character. So when Christ, who is our life, shall phaneroo, shall manifest in his true character, in the hour that he does that, we will also do the same. Well, people will say, well, didn't Jesus do that 2,000 years ago? No, that was the first coming. This is the appearing. You know, Brother Brown said there's an appearing before the coming. The appearing was God manifesting that God life, that Jesus Christ manifesting himself through William Branham. And by looking at a man and recognizing the attributes of that God life in that man, then we also shall manifest in our true character along with that God man. I mean, that man of God. Excuse me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me echoes everlasting life. So when Christ, who is our life, Christ, not Jesus, Christ, the anointing, When that anointing shall appear, shall phaneroo, shall manifest in his true identity, then shall you also manifest in your true identity with him. Now that word, because this is the hour of the appearing. This is the hour when God appeared through a prophet, manifested Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He appeared, we appear. In what? In glory, in doxa, which is the very values, opinions, and judgments of God. 2 Timothy 1 and 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing, the manifestation of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And that word appearing means manifestation. And let's face it, the appearing or manifestation we saw was in one man, William Branham. So when he appeared, or when we saw Christ appear in him, manifest in him, it set the scene for that same life to appear or manifest in us. Notice it is the appearing that manifests the life. And so it is through the appearing that we manifest what life we have in us. And therefore, with no expression manifesting or appearing, there is no apparent life to be manifested, as we read in Ephesians 4:18. It says, having their understanding darkened, they became alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So the first thing is the hearts are blind. Then what does it do? It brings on a darkness. What does the darkness do? It casts off the light. You know, the Bible says that, John chapter 3, verse 18. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Having their understanding darkened, they become alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, because we have a prophet who sometimes the words just seem very simple. And we wonder exactly what is he trying to say to us. But when we recognize, Lord, that nothing can come to life outside the revealed word. And all that does come to life comes because the light manifests the seed within it. And that life then becomes into an expression. And so, Father, we've been sitting in this church for 30 years. Been sitting as a children of God for even more than that, waiting for the resurrection, waiting for the change of the body. But Lord, we know that you who are the author are also the finisher of our faith. You which began the good work in us, surely you will perform it even unto the day of Jesus Christ. So Father, we pray that for one thing, and that is to have the preeminence in us. And that preeminence is you. That you would have the most preeminent position in our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.